We are back for another episode today. It is your boy Honcho, the one and only, the Don, the Julio. How you Julio? You feel me? Rocco, how you feeling, my G?
Oh, feeling good, man. Feeling good. This is winning time. This is money time. Let's go win some money.
Some money.
This time always just makes me feel fucking nervous. Because you did everything you could do all year.
All year.
You put all the work in. You made countless trades. You had countless negotiations. You've looked at all the numbers before setting your lineups. And now, it's all fucking luck. Good luck, everybody.
Good luck, everybody, because it is playoff time. It is a couple games into round two. If you've made it to this wonderful sanctuary, this wonderful time that we love to be in. I mean, so far, so good on my end, Rocco, and a couple of my higher-paid leagues. One of them, I'm looking like I took a good 20-point lead on them. I think I've almost signed my way into the championship. But you just never know. This is my $50 league. You just never know how the rest of these games can go. But right now, I'm feeling good. And then the other one, I'm feeling, you know, we're head-to-head. We're battling it out. But for right now, it's looking like good success right now. And in one league, I kind of got you by the neck, my boy. Was looking good. How your round two looking like?
Man, it's all toss ups. I could say I haven't lost any leagues yet, but I haven't won anything yet. It's all gonna be decided probably by 3:30, maybe earlier. But yeah, it's too close to call, and if it was. And if I was able to call it, I wouldn't call it. I don't want to upset the fantasy gods. I've done that way too many times. I've been around this game for a long time. And as soon long as time. I talk shit, somebody putting a 50 burger on top of my head. So I've seen too much weird shit. I've lost a 90-point lead on Monday Night Football before.
90?
To two.
Oh, no.
To two guys.
Oh, no.
Two guys. Drew Brees and running back for the Houston Texans. I think his name was Slayton. Damn near 100-point lead I lost in that game. I think Drew Brees had like 5 or 6 touchdowns, and Slayton had the game of his life. He's never been relevant.
Bro, you really brought it.
He
kind of
crushed my soul.
You kind of brought that way back, bro. When you said Steve Slayton, bro,
I've been in this game for a long time.
I haven't heard that name.
I'm not no newbie. I got my longest running dynasty league is 9 years old. So, yeah, just put that in perspective.
I haven't. There's been. Ooh, you just brought it all the way back with that.
I've rebuilt that fucking team 3 times already.
But listen, guys, as before, it's a tough slate. It's a quick slate. I won't almost say it's a quick slate today because we're just trying to get up out of here before these. Well, we got to get these, you know, these lineups set up. But we got a good, nice setup for you guys today. I guess some nice topics going. But before we get into those, as always, follow us on Blue Sky. You can catch us on there giving our latest and greatest takes as we make our way through these end of the fantasy playoffs. But we will be on there. So catch us on Blue Sky. But let's move on to these wonderful topics today, Rocco. Man, have I enjoyed some of these games, man. These last couple of, I think it's been 3. I think we got 3 games so far. 1 on Thursday, 2 yesterday. The Thursday night game was the Broncos versus Chargers. My boy Bo Nix set me up nice and right in my $75 lead. I thought he was going to have a bigger game, how that first half went. I think before the first half was up, he had about 21 fantasy points. Kind of teared down towards that second half, and they ended up losing. But, man, did he set me up good. And if he had Ladd McConkey, He got you going well indeed as well. How? What have you thought about that Broncos game?
I play in a few IDP leagues, and my longest running league is an IDP league, a limited IDP league, and I started Nick Bonito. I sat TJ Watt. I was feeling kind of nervous about that ankle, and also I was nervous about him chasing around Lamar Jackson. And Nick Bonito, to his credit, has had 25 points in back-to-back weeks. So I thought I was doing a genius move, and as soon as that game started, I saw Nick Bonito getting eaten alive by Rashawn Slater, and I felt really bad about that. As soon as I saw him getting his ass kicked up and down the field by Rashawn Slater. So I felt kind of bad about that, but then TJ Watt didn't do shit, so... the 2-point difference, it's okay. But what I did like was the quarterback play, especially the quarterback play in the first half by Bo Nix, and the quarterback play in the second half by Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert was jobbed out of one of those touchdowns because I'm pretty damn sure Gus Bus landed short of the end zone, but in the middle of the field, they're not going to overturn that. I would have liked to see Justin Herbert go over the top for his own touchdown, but that's neither here nor there. He got 30 points depending on your league rules. So he definitely helped out. Ladd McConkey had a good game. Kamani Vidal, we've hoped to see something from him, but it just hasn't materialized.
Gus Edwards won some people. Motto, if you did, I want to see physical proof of your ass starting Gus Edwards. He got people two tutties yesterday. Two. Not today, sorry, not yesterday. On Thursday. Two tutties. That's crazy.
Our guy Max is in the house.
Yeah, Max said he's a little disappointed. He only had two real chances. He only has two real chances in two leagues. It's gonna be all right, my boy. We're gonna get you right.
I got 13 chances, but you know, if you could just win one big money league, that pretty much carries the day for the whole
league. Yeah, 100%.
For all of your leagues, because you know, not all of my leagues are $100 leagues. They're various numbers. So you know, we get really invested in the big timer leagues, because though just winning one of those pays for the whole party. So
oh yeah, the whole enchilada.
You're winning at least one of those big timer leagues. And you know, just keep building towards next year on those other leagues.
We're gonna get you, yeah.
But where
back to the back.
I hate what the Denver Broncos are doing with their running backs.
I don't like that committee.
They're bringing in people that I'd never even fucking heard of, and that does nobody anything. Gus Bus, great, two touchdowns. You scored those two touchdowns on a lot of people's waiver wire or benches, so he didn't help you unless you were truly desperate.
No, I think at this point the Broncos should just go ahead and, you know, the running back by committee thing is not working for them. I don't think it lets them get into a good groove, and you're not letting these backs get into their, you know, a rhythm. So I think they need to go ahead and let estimate, and maybe it goes to credit that there hasn't been a running back to run away with it. Javonte hasn't done anything to really lose that, but he hasn't done anything to where he should keep it. I would be 100% happy if the Broncos went a RB in the draft. With how many there is in this upcoming, you know, 2025 RB class, 100% Denver should be in play to grab one of these guys. But, you know, Javonte, he's cool, but I think we've seen what we need to see from him. And then you got, you know, Estimate. If he doesn't, I'd say let him get a chance to see what he can do in year two, if he can pull away with that, you know, that spot. But on to the Texans and Chiefs games, and I hate to discuss this game. I really do, because our guy Tank Dell suffered. And shout out to you, my boy, because you went out bad, but you went out good, because you literally are helping me whoop Rocco's ass in Super Friends. Thank you. But he suffered a dislocated kneecap, man. It is it's second year in a row suffering a major injury.
And I'll tell you how that went down from my perspective. I was out yesterday getting Christmas brunch with some friends, and we went to a bar afterwards, and the game was on, and I just looked up and noticed everybody on Houston was crying. I said, "Oh,
shoot, man, I was too.
Somebody must have got hurt." And I'm looking around. I'm like, "Okay, I see C.J. Stroud. I see Nico out there. I see some guys. Where's number three at? It's number three that's on the ground. Fuck."
No, that's exactly.
I got Dell too. I got Dell, and you know, when you're in 25 leagues, you got a little bit of everybody, basically. But I was looking for Dell, and I seen everybody crying. I'm like, shit, what? Man.
That pissed me off.
That's fucking take down. My secondary thought, you know, as you know, a person that's more invested in my teams, is I think he scored a touchdown there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What I thought was the coolest thing about it was, like, he did. Tank got hurt. But the amazing thing about it was that he held on to that bitch the whole time. It didn't loosen, it didn't juggle. No, he held on to that thing while holding on to his knee. I hate it for him because I literally was saying before that knee injury on Blue Sky that, yay, it's finally that the Houston Texans finally remembered that Tank Dell is actually a good football player and he can do great things on the field. It just, when you saw him moving, sometimes when you just see him running his route, exploding out from the top of his route and from his actual release, it looks like he's moving two times faster than the rest of everybody else on the field. So I hate that Tank Dell got hurt. He got me 20 plus points. And it's looking like I'm about to go to that championship in Super Friends 2 against our boy Rocco. Thank you, Tank Dell. I'll give you my damn knee. I'll give you my ACL. Well, he didn't mess up his ACL. I don't know. If I can reverse time, man.
We got a lot of players still to play. I wouldn't crown it just yet.
I wouldn't either. Listen, I'm talking shit, but I'll come back to y'all next week. But like, I mean, this boy
if I had
Rocco
like four
got
four guys that went and got like 7 points, I'd be feeling bad. But my guys are still waiting to lace them up.
But my next guy that I'm going to talk about though in the next game. Oh, and before we move on to the Steelers and Ravens game, one of the things that I did notice throughout the Chiefs and Texans game was that Xavier Worthy had himself a very nice, solid, you know, I think that I wouldn't say that was his coming out game, but that might have been his best game all season, where he seemed very much involved. They tried to get him the ball in a plethora of different ways. But we saw that Hollywood Brown was back into the game. Mm-hmm. I also saw in real time DeAndre Hopkins' value tanking, because it seemed like with all these guys, Hollywood Brown back, and it seems like Kansas City made it a very early initiative to get him involved into that game. DeAndre Hopkins, the share of the pie, is going down. And he was already like a TD, a touchdown-dependent guy. It's even lower now, I feel.
I'm going to tell you my theory on that. I didn't come up with this theory, but I read it online, so I'm going to just make it my theory. There's bonuses. Not bonuses, but the draft compensation changes depending on DeAndre Hopkins' numbers and snap counts. So I think that's very much in play here as a team that can win without, you know, they can win without any particular guy. That's also the reason why they're fucking totally tanking Travis Kelce's value, not because of the draft compensation, but because they're saving him for the playoffs. Watch that some bitch go off for 25 per week once the playoffs start. But right now he getting me 8 points, 5 points. If I make it to the championship round, I'm gonna have to sit his ass, because
Yeah.
You know, you're starting the name at this point, but it pisses me off because I know he has it in him, and I seen the same shit last year where he would get these dud after dud performances, and then in the playoffs, magically, like, oh, yeah, let's get you 100 and a tutty or two.
Yeah, it's when Kelce...
It pisses me off the way they jerk around the fantasy managers.
No, but Kelce, I think, and I almost made the mistake of trading for Kelce because I was like, you know what? This is when they start to depend on him during this time and whoop-de-woo. And he had a nice little run in the middle of the season, but I think we are getting to the end of that Kelce time. And, you know, I'm happy I didn't pull the plug on Kelce because he's not giving any of his owners right now the value of what you would want out of your tight end one.
I got one goddamn share, and he has fucked me raw. So many opportunities. Oh, man, I'm feeling so hurt by his transgressions. He probably should have his name mailed out to everybody in my neighborhood the way he's doing his fantasy managers raw.
Doing him bad.
Put his name on a fucking registry. He's killing us right now. He's offending me.
You're doing that boy bad. And previous games that went was the Steelers and Ravens. I thought this was, you know, the score doesn't really show it, but it was a pretty, at one point in the time before that pick six that Russell Wilson fucking threw, which I'm kind of not mad at, but I am kind of mad at.
I loved it.
Like that shit, it was a pretty, you know, close game. But Derrick Henry, boy, did you do me well. He had 162 rushing yards, and he looked, man, like he's RB5 on the year, and he's did every ounce. I needed every ounce of those points yesterday from him.
The found money in that performance was the two catches that he got for
him. Yeah.
That's a little extra.
A little bit, yeah.
He didn't score a touchdown, which
sucks. Just say it
kind of sucks. It sucks. You know, well, Baltimore, he had his chance to get his touchdown at the end, and he should have got his touchdown at the end. He was rushing the ball all the way downfield. They had a fourth and inches, and instead of letting that man get his fucking touchdown, they were like, let's do the smart football play and get up by three scores. Three scores? Who gives a shit? You're up by 14 points. There's no way they're not coming back. Let that man get his fucking touchdown. He has earned it. It's 162 rushing yards with no touchdowns.
It's killing. You know, he's going on like 4 weeks.
That number doesn't look right.
He's going on 4 weeks, 4 to 5 weeks of not having a TD. And it's cool. Like, I'll take the 162 yards, but man, if I could have added a nice little touchdown, a little splat, you know what I mean? A little bit of splat on top of that jump, man, I would have enjoyed. I enjoyed it anyway. So shout out to you, Derrick Henry, for holding my fantasy teams down. You are another guy who got me going well against Rocco and Super Friends. So shout out to you.
Yeah, I mean, he's carried me in my own league, so I can't be mad at that. But you know, I know there is a three touchdown game in his future because this man should not go that long without scoring the football. So I know a lot of it's, you know, the looks that they're getting, which gives one on one access to all the receivers. You know, basically all the receivers on the field, and Lamar Jackson has taken full advantage of that. But get this man a touchdown. He's earned it.
Zay Flowers also had a nice game too, man.
Yeah, Flowers got 100 yards. Nice long play towards the end. I think that was about a 50-yard play.
Mm-hmm.
That really capped off his day. I got him in a few places, so it was good to see him finally have a pretty big day. I would have liked to see him as well score a touchdown. All of these Rashad Bateman touchdowns. While I am a Bateman truther, I just don't have the nuts to start him anywhere. So, yeah, let's get some touchdowns.
Let's get some. Let's, way. That was his only touchdown though for Bateman. I mean, sorry, not his only his only catch was his only touchdown. The touchdown. That's it.
But he's been scoring a lot of touchdowns.
He has. He has. Shout out to that boy Mark Andrews. Shout out to that boy Mark Andrews. Yeah, baby.
The reports of his demise were greatly exaggerated.
Greatly.
I think we should definitely keep an eye on tightrope surgery, guys. Seems like it takes them a while to get going. And, I mean, the guy was in a serious car accident, right before the season. So maybe that has something to do with it as well.
But let's get on to another little groove. Let's switch our little pivot real quick. You feel me? And go into one of our favorite topics. Devy Player. Oh, hold up. Almost messed up the title. Devy Player of the Week. And who is our Devy Player of the Week? Nick Nash. Mr. Triple Crown himself.
Not Kevin what? Nash, huh?
Who the hell is that?
Not Steve Nash.
Okay, now we on this. Hold on, was Kevin Nash the wrestler?
Yeah, the 7-foot wrestler.
Yeah. Okay. See, now we on. Yeah. See, now we on.
Back when wrestling was good before it went to shit. Sorry, y'all wrestling fans, but the shit never got as good as it was in the 90s. I know I'm aging myself, but it's all good.
Well, no, I'm gonna tell the people today about our good man Nick Nash and why you should probably keep him on your radar this 2025 rookie season. He is from San Jose State. He is a receiver, 6'3", 195, and he is old as fuck, Rocco. Let me tell you, that's probably one of the biggest things against him. He's a 6-year senior. He joined the Spartans in 2019 as a quarterback. And let me tell you, when I initially started this conversation, he plays receiver and he won the Triple Crown this year. Just put that into perspective, okay? So, like I said, he's a 6-year senior. He joined the team in 2019. 2021, he actually started 6 games for the Spartans, going for 53.6% completion rate, 971 passing yards, 385 rushing yards, and 7 touchdowns. In 2022 is when he transitioned to receiver, and then 2023 was his first year at receiver. He went for 48 receptions, 728 receiving yards, and 8 touchdowns. What I like about that, you know, that's a nice little stat line. You never played receiver before. You was in high school. You was a quarterback, a dual threat. He wasn't really recruited highly. So I'll take that as your first year. And then he had an amazing jump in 2024. Second year, 104 receptions, 1,382 yards, 16 touchdowns. Man, what do I love about this guy? First off, I just like he's a football player, just to see his character of wanting to make that transition to wide receiver after playing quarterback for so long as he did. I love that about a guy and wanted to keep improving himself. You know, a couple of noticeable games that he had this year were Boise State. He went for 9 catches, 126 receiving yards, 1 touchdown. Versus Oregon State, 7 catches, 161 receiving yards, 1 touchdown. Washington State, 16 catches, 152 receiving yards, 2 tutties. And then Kennesaw State, 17 catches, 225 receiving yards, and 3 touchdowns. Let me tell you something, Rocco. He scored a touchdown in every single game this year but one. Now, one of the things that people like to use against him is that, one, he's an older prospect. I think he'll be 25 when the season starts. So it kind of reminds me of a Devon Vele for the Broncos, as him being a 25-year-old rookie. And then they use his competitive, the conference he was in, you know, that he played against, that, you know, that's to go against the season that he had. But, man, what I like about him, he is an actual real deep threat down the field. You would think at 6'3", 195, he wouldn't move the way he does. And it doesn't look like he's like super fast. He's not explosive, but
he's a glider.
He one of those guys who glide. He gallops, man. So I do like him. He possesses one of those rare frames for him. He primarily lines up in the slot for that offense. So think of a bigger slot for them, where I think he can use his size to potentially beat up on those smaller corners that you see in there. He, like I said, he has really good speed. I think he can stretch the field. His time at quarterback, I think, is one of his superpowers. He possesses very high IQ when it comes to zone coverage and understanding leverage and understanding, you know, where to be in the spaces. Great. I love him there. And he's a natural ball skills catcher. Never would have thought that from a guy who used to be quarterback. But, you know, he, when it comes to tracking the ball, he does that really well. One of the things that he does need to work on is, and obviously since he is still new to the position, is his route running. When it comes to his short to intermediate routes, he could tend to stand up a bit in his routes. And that can cause trouble letting people get to his body. I think his functional strength can be improved as well. Being 6'3 and 195, I think he needs to bulk up a bit in the NFL. One of his people, he kind of reminded me of that when it comes to like height-wise. He's a bit smaller than this guy. But I think when it comes to them both being winning deep downfield and using their size, he kind of has that same feel as Jalen Coker does for me. You know, Jalen Coker has shown splashes in games this year. I think where you would want Nick Nash to go is a team that, and once again, he's 25, so it comes back to how much more does he have to grow? And once again, my answer to that is he's only been at the position for 2 years. It's almost like a Tyron Tracy. He's only been, you know, for a prospect, he was an older prospect. I think he was 24 coming into the draft. And he had only been at the position for the running back position for 1 year. So seeing, if we put that into the perspective of Nick Nash, I think if you let this guy, you know, keep growing, you see, let's say he get into an offense like, I don't know, the 49ers, or, you know, if you want to, I always say the Broncos. I would even love to see him as a Bronco with him and Bo Nix. You know, I think he could be serviceable in his rookie year. If he gets the opportunity, he's going to be one of those guys that you can get in round three. He's going to be very underrated, not one of those top, you know, top level guys that people are talking about. But in that early round three, I'm looking for this guy, 100%.
That's what I was going to say. He might be your Tyron Tracy for this year. Obviously a different position, but an older prospect that switched positions. Some of the question marks I have about him is his catch percentage is fairly low, considering he only caught 59.3% of his passes in 2023, and this year he only has 104 catches on 172 targets. So he seems to be the only thing in this whole offense.
Yes, he is that offense.
He's carrying the whole offense. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is quarterback related, but you'd like to see him have a higher catch percentage. You can't really say that you'd like to see him have more production, based on the amount of times he's thrown the ball, he absolutely could have more production. And, you know, he's playing in a lesser conference. But the thing that really stood out to me that I just found out that you mentioned earlier is that he's a former quarterback. And that may explain some of his growth process, because he had no stats to speak of until last year because he was a quarterback.
Yep.
But just to put this in perspective, some notable guys that were quarterbacks that became really good, and some would say borderline Hall of Fame candidates at the wide receiver position, converting from quarterbacker. Hines Ward, Julian Edelman, Antoine Randle-L, Anquan Boldin, and a guy that's playing football today at a pretty good level is also Jacoby Myers, is also a former quarterback. So, you know, that kind of excuses some of that non-production early in his career. And he'll break a lot of models where people like to see early wide receiver production to kind of demonstrate that, you know, that they'll be good pro prospects. So, you know, he may break the mold with some of those guys I just mentioned. So he's an interesting prospect. You have to really look into where he lands to determine if you want to invest a rookie draft pick in him. You know, because he may be a value in the third or fourth rounds of rookie drafts. He may even go undrafted in some of your rookie drafts, but
he's could
to kind of keep an eye on, because like I said, where he lands I think will be paramount to where to how his career goes. He just needs to find a good offensive system that knows how to use him and doesn't just stick him on the outside.
But these are the guys I kind of love, though. You know, it's those guys that, once again, those high character guys that want, he's a grinder. I'll take those guys any day that just wants to go out there and help his football team, you know? So I'll take those guys any day. And that is our Debbie player of the week, Nick Nash. Get that in round three. He might be even in round four. He might even go undrafted. But he gets my approval of stamp. All right. We have one more topic to end off the show before we go. We've been on this wave. We did QBs. We did running backs. We finished up the receivers. Y'all know what time it is, man. It is to do those tight ends. And we will be going over our 6 through 10 ranks today. Let me go ahead and share my, here we go.
All right, I'm just gonna kind of quickly run through mine, and then we can go through yours and kind of have a conversation on them.
Okay.
I think the top five is pretty set for me. But we're talking about the bottom five, so it's kind of a combination of production as well as talent and upside. So my number, there's a name on there that I hadn't considered. So let's see. My number 10 guy is Isaiah Likely.
Isaiah Likely. All right.
Oh, we had to go off the board. number 9, I'm going to go with Kelsey.
This might be his last year, so I get that part.
I don't know why he's even in my top 10.
I get that part.
Probably just the name thing, but it's dynasty, and he could easily fall out of this list. At number 8, I'm going to go with the guy that's rising like a phoenix, Jonnu Smith.
Jonnu! Oh, he's making an appearance.
Yeah. And numbers.
Hold on. Can I ask you? Was Jonnu on your top 10 before the start of this year?
Fuck no, he wasn't on anybody's top 10. But he's also, you know, winning people leagues right now, so we gotta take that into consideration.
Okay.
And I think he's found a home. I think he's found a home, and I think he will continue to do what he's doing, because he's found a coach that appreciates him and is using him properly. And tight end is a weird position. There's a lot of guys that don't do anything until they're 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been on a lightly used race car for most of his career. The other thing that you have to look out for tight ends is elite athleticism, and he has that in spades. So this could be the start of something, not just, you know, a flash in the pan. So at number 7 is a guy I just can't quit, Kyle Pitts.
Kyle Pitts. And I almost made a deal for that boy, but he was so headstrong on him. And he might get, like we talked about it when on our Wednesday show, he could get a resurgence with Michael Penix now at quarterback.
All right. And number 6, I'm going to close out our bottom 5 of the top 10 with Hockenson. Give me Hockenson.
Oh, that's one guy that I did very much forget. Hockenson. How could I forget my guy? And I traded him away.
Yeah, I mean, he had a devastating knee injury, but he's already back to producing. So I can feel good about TJ Hockenson going forward. So I couldn't leave him out of the top 10, and he is at the top.
Do you like what you've seen from him? Do you like what you've seen from him since his return from injury?
I've seen enough. To be honest, I thought this was going to be a full-on lost season for him. Mm-hmm. So any kind of production is good production in my eyes.
Okay.
I mean, he had that knee injury towards the end of last season, so you know, that can completely derail, you know, a future season. And that's what worries me about Tank Dell, you know, having that injury so late in the season. He may have just lost his whole 2025. He may not be right in 2026. And as an older prospect, that scares the shit out of me.
Okay. That is Rocco's 6 through 10. I can respect that. And I love that he has Jonnu Smith in that top 10. I feel like, yes, Jonnu Smith and I think we talked about this. We dabbled on this a few times in a couple episodes. You see the reason why he did keep Kyle Pitts off the field. You know, you see why he kept getting on the field. Jonnu Smith is a good talent. I think that's one of the guys that got away from. Wasn't he with New England?
Yeah, he was. He was in a couple places.
Max Boyle? Wasn't he?
He was in New England. New England signed him and Hunter Henry to completely dumbass contracts, and then didn't use Jonnu at all. He was in Tennessee as well. He's always showed flashes. He would break off big plays. He's the type of guy that gives me hope for a guy like a Chigakonkwo. Who also has elite athleticism, scored a bunch of 40-yard touchdowns, but hasn't put it all together. You know, tight ends, a lot of time you see tight ends break out on a second team because the first team just didn't use them. And tight end, it takes a long time for some of these guys to kind of figure out the position because there's so much that goes into it with the blocking assignments as well as, you know, kind of being a receiver as well. So, you know, it's good to see that Jonnu Smith has broken out all over the place. He's a guy that I could even be too low on, honestly, you know, seeing his production,
yeah,
you know, over the second half of this year.
And just to give y'all a ring, 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 we are 5 minutes in to go before we have to get out of here and set our lineups. Once again, thank you all for tuning in with us. I'm going to give my side, my 6 through 10 before we go. But once again, thank you all for tuning in. And you can catch us again on Wednesday. But my 10, I'm going to definitely have Travis Kelce at that 10 spot.
He's grandfathered into the top 10.
Yeah, he has to. He respectfully, you can't have, you know, that top 10 spot without Travis Kelce and what he's done for that tight end spot. Hell, we have tight end you or tight end day because of Travis Kelce. So shout out to him. He's held that position down for a decade now. So, but his time has come. It, you know, he's not the same player he's used to. So he's at that number 10 spot. I would put Evan Ingram, I still think he deserves to be in that top 10. He's had very bad luck this year with injuries, being out now with a torn labrum in his shoulder. And yeah, that sucks. Cause I have quite, he was very much one of the tight ends I targeted very heavily in my startup drafts, because I love the value where you could have got him at if you didn't go tight end very early, like I did quite a lot. So
double E,
love Evan Ingram. I still think, you know, he can ball out and show what he can do, but you know, with Lawrence and that offense this year, it just didn't all click. Bite me in the ass. Next, I would probably go Jake Ferguson. I gotta have my boy Fergie.
I think I know why you picked him.
I'm a little, no, it's been up once again. I think if this was Dak Prescott and he was the starting quarterback, Jake Ferguson would be having a way bigger year. And he also was banged up a little bit. He had a concussion, I think. But he's just one of those guys. If you go back and look what he did last year when Dak was healthy, he showed why he deserves to be one of those in that discussion for top 10 guys. You know, I think he's still relatively young. I think they can still, no, I think next year might be either the final year contract he might be on, or come the second to last year of his rookie contract. So, you know, I think his ceiling is very limited. You know, he doesn't give that same value or same, you know, stats as guys like Trey McBride, Sam LaPorta, even if you will. I still like Sam LaPorta over Jake Ferguson. But, man, you can't go wrong with Fergie boy. At number seven, we're getting into that hard area for me. But I feel like you can't not have him on here either. So, Tucker Kraft, my G, you have moved into my number seven spot. I love what you have done this year, my guy. And you might be, and I love his game. He's a very yak. Mm-hmm. You know, he wants to get every single yard he can. And, you know, if Jordan Love missed some time this year too, I think he missed two or three games. Like me, a Tucker Kraft. No, still relatively young. I take him over Luke Musgrave any day in that offense. If you're looking for a guy that has a good repertoire with their quarterback, got to go with my guy Kraft. And to round out my
stuff,
I would probably go damn, this is actually really hard. Njoku. Hold on, that gives me 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, let me go. I'll go Njoku here. I like the performances he's put up, no matter who's really kind of at quarterback. I wish he still had our boy Flacco as his quarterback, because he seemed like he was going stupid crazy last year with him at quarterback. But those are my guys. You know, I feel like every one of these guys has given, except for Jake Ferguson, I suppose, and Evan Ingram, due to injury. I think those are mainly due to injury, or they would 100% would be on this list, guaranteed. But those are my guys, man.
Yeah, I think I go more for upside, but you do have Tucker Kraft. You know, that made me think maybe I should have had him in this grouping. But fuck it, I'm gonna go with what I got.
Fuck it, man.
I'm a likely truther, so I had to pigeonhole him into that top 10.
Well, let me stop doing this one. Cool. Everybody, that is our show. That is our one. That's episode 16. We're getting our groove. We're getting our flow. You feel me? We're growing.
2 months in.
You know what I'm saying? 2 months in. We got one more week. It's after this week. It's championship week. If you didn't make it to championship, play, boy, you didn't listen to us all year. You didn't. Well, okay, I can't say all year because we haven't been playing all year. But
it's gonna be a lot of shit talking this Wednesday, man. Because we got a lot of games on the line today. So we'll kind of come back and recap those games on Wednesday. As well as finish up our top five at the tight end position.
And thank you all once again for watching, tapping with us on Blue Sky. We really gotta start putting. If we gotta somehow figure out how to put the link to our Discord somehow on here. But follow us on Blue Sky. Let me put that on here real quick. Put it on here real quick before we dip out. You know, so
let's go.
That's us. That is E. We are over 400 followers now. We're growing. We flowing. That's the link to our YouTube and to our free Discord where you can ask us any questions during the playoffs, sit and starts, you know, trades for real builders, trade for contenders. We're there, baby. I hope y'all have a great Sunday. I hope y'all win today. Unless you're playing me, then fuck you. This is definitely not that.
Personally. I take that so personally. That's damn, you snuck that in at the end of the show.
We're going for dubs, baby. Get them dubs.
What Kelsey did to me, that's enough.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, everybody. This is Fourth and Fantasy. Rocco.
Fourth and Fantasy, let's win some fucking money.